found that in order to get full coverage on YouTube, you have to have copyright-free music, because I'm all about getting that bag. You cannot get monetized. If you have anything that resembles possible copyright infringement. Therefore, I had to change my intro. Hey, y'all. This is 2022, a new year, a new time for podcasting. And I had to get a funky beat to basically express what I want to put out in the atmosphere. And this is Tenfro. I'm back again. I'm a social critic, thought leader, but I'm more reclusive and cranky. But I want to read, watch, cook, and just share all things that make me happy. My wish is that this increases the curiosity of the listening audience to come back for more and to share with friends. I want 1 million unique listeners and downloads. I want creative quality Millie to be known around the world. Won't he do it? Yes, he will. So if you're listening to me on YouTube, click subscribe. Tip a sister. And I just want to thank you guys for listening. And enjoy and get your bop on. Copyright free.
Don't do that.
You know what? Remember Jackie Kennedy? Her blood splattered pink Chanel suit? Her kids had to see that. Someone had to explain that to them, Barack.
We are back with Viola Davis. That is the First Lady. And we are Sunday night on Showtime.
That's crazy how good you are at this. I mean, it really is. My wife and I watched it last night. We cannot believe it's not just the voice that you have down. It's like even just the walking, and it's crazy how much you became Michelle Obama.
And I'm glad it's over.
Are you?
I mean, the stress, because everybody loves Michelle Obama. They know what she sounds like. They know what she looks like. And then I'm like, oh my God, I don't want Michelle Obama calling me, cussing me out. I mean, that's the kind of thing where you just have to prostrate yourself on the floor and just go, okay, Michelle, I messed up.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So the show is, and you produced the show, three First Ladies.
No, I'll say that, I did.
Michelle Obama, Betty Ford, played by Michelle Pfeiffer.
Uh-huh.
And Eleanor Roosevelt, played by Gillian Anderson, who'll be here tomorrow night.
Exactly.
And the big, by the way, they're both fantastic too, but they didn't have to play somebody who's around, you know? They're playing characters who are dead, fortunately. I mean,
you know what, Jimmy? It may seem like you're giving me a compliment, but you're just rising my anxiety level. That's all you're doing right now.
Okay.
Okay.
Have you spoken to Michelle and said, hey, here's what's coming. This is, I'm doing you?
No.
You did not.
I'm hiding from Michelle.
I see.
I'm hiding in
Nobody
my
invited
house.
Her to the premiere or sent her a link to see the show before anyone else?
I'm not sending her
Do you
nothing.
Want me to do this?
No.
I think she's going to like it. I don't think it'll be received poorly.
You know those kids in the playground that would cause a fight? Well, actually, that was me.
Yeah.
Who I would say, you know what she said about you? What are you going to say to him?
I know, I just had the feeling like you were going to take my red card away or something. Okay, so no Michelle. Hopefully Michelle will not have a subscription to Showtime and see any of this.
I don't think she can afford it.
How did you arrive at which First Ladies you would put on this series? And is it the idea that maybe in future incarnations of the show you would depict other First Ladies? Because I'm just saying,
you would
I would love to play
other
Melania.
First Ladies. Yes. I would. You'd like to play who?
Melania, I think. Could you imagine? I'm mad that we made Trump. My big fat head laying next to him in bed. Not that they're ever next to each other in bed, but you know what I mean. You know what I mean.
Oh my goodness.
Do you have any idea how many awards you've won in your life? Do you like have a total in your head?
No, Jimmy. This is probably, I don't watch Jimmy Kimmel, but I did really like at least this segment of Jimmy Kimmel Live. This was published, or he dropped it a few days ago. I think it was after the premiere of Three First Ladies. And I was going to talk about Viola Davis anyways, because my plan was to also talk about what my feelings were if I could land an excerpt from her book. And I still go about the whole process of getting a galley or a review copy, because technically I'm kind of pressed. I have a small, I'll talk to you guys about that. But also I sat and watched First Ladies. First, it's streaming on Showtime, but if you have an add-on subscription on Prime, you can also watch it there. I really liked it. And I had to go back and do a little bit of research. Twitter and some social media is not kind. It is a trip. It can be really just mean for absolutely like no reason. And Viola Davis was she's an amazing actress, and it basically is a testament to how talented she is and how people are just and how people how people will go out of their way to basically tear you down. Some of these memes on Twitter are actually kind of funny. They basically said Viola Davis casts Ariana Grande in a new biopic. And there is one with Michelle Obama, and it says, Michelle watching Viola Davis make those faces. And then, let's see. Viola Davis might be going to hell. They basically made a comment about, they basically just blew past the fact how Michelle Obama Viola Davis embodied Michelle Obama. And it's weird that Jimmy, as you heard on Jimmy Kimmel, that it's wild acting or becoming someone that's still alive. She's an institution. Her and President Obama were a realization of a dream. So it was like, how dare you try to become her? And they had all these people that they thought could have been better, but I don't think there's anybody better than Michelle Obama. You know, also, I had to go back and I didn't look at any previous iterations, because I think Michelle Obama has matured and she's so different than she was when she was back in the White House. So basically, I had to, she was on Ellen this week, talking about being in quarantine with their kids, who are beautiful women. And that's what I was tripped out about. I was like, why couldn't you get a cuter kid than that old Jacqueline T. kid that played Sasha? I was like, okay, come on. She, Malia, or both of them are beautiful, but Sasha is gorgeous. And they could have found a better, because I remember her as a little girl. I didn't realize that she was only like 8 years old when they were in the White House. But she was cute then, and they had this Jack O'Lantern kid play her in the story. But that's just me, and I know that's mean, but that's just my truth and what I felt. What I did trip out is the actor that played President Obama nailed it. And you cannot, and you can also say that for Viola Davis. I can't imagine anyone but Viola Davis playing Michelle Obama. I think this first episode is going to have me come back for more. And if you compare her to the real Michelle Obama on this week's episode of Ellen, Michelle Obama does purse her lips. I think she does, it's maybe an unconscious action to handle her saliva. She may have had braces at one point. I don't know if she has a bridge, but she's very much engaged, but she also readjusts her mouth, I don't know, and swallows spit. But she does purse her lips, and she does enunciate. She has a lot of gingival hypertrophy, I guess. So she has to be careful how she does speak, and it may be from years of being in politics and as an executive for University of Chicago. It just makes sense that she does make a lot of faces when the camera's not on her. I did notice it. She must have did it 100 times. And for people to drag Viola Davis for even getting that down pat, come on, y'all. It was better. She basically, it was just like y'all forgot to comment on her basically embodying that she did an amazing job, and how how both of them were pretty badass at what they did and what their partnership solidified and made Barack Obama had his ability to embody and enrich the White House. I don't think he could have done it with anybody than lesser than the great Michelle Obama. And I honestly think I can't imagine anybody else playing that part. It was not Viola Davis at all. It was, in fact, Viola Davis embodying the part, because that's what she does. And that's what the next thing I wanted to talk about is how and why she became such an amazing actress. And you can get the excerpt of this. It's also available for immediate purchase. Well, for pre-order, because it doesn't drop until the 27th. Finding me is a deep reflection, a promise, a love letter of sorts to self. My hope is that my story will inspire you to light up your own life with creative expression and rediscover who you were before the world put a label on you. And basically, Eleanor Roosevelt's statement, a woman is like a tea bag, you don't know how strong they are until they're in hot water. It, to me, summarizes Viola's life and the characterization of her life. I found her presence to be a little bit even intense with Jimmy Kimmel. You can review the tapes and also look at his previous interactions with her. She just seems to be so intense. You know, her presence is just so big. And what she did go through from the farm down in South Carolina, from a former plantation, from her grandparents' sharecrop farm, all the way to a tenement that was rat infested in Rhode Island, to her making it off Broadway, winning a couple of Tonys, getting nominated for Oscar, and just crushing it. And with every role that she's ever played, again, she has embodied that character. This is no different. this role that she actually produced with the production company with her husband is no different from any role that she has played in the past. She was Black and Beautiful when Black and Beautiful wasn't cool. She did not allow that to stop her. And she just becomes. And her sister told her, if she's going to survive, she had to become the best version and do it. She had to be the best. Just like all of us that are African American, we have to do 10 times more, be 20 times as great, and still we would be compared to the mediocre, lighter fare, even though we are the GOAT. And she basically leaned into that. And I'm going to go back because I thought my version of this, why I think that Viola Davis embodies this part, what is very simple. You know, again, both Michelle Obama and President Obama are a realization of a dream. They were both respectfully, they were equally yoked and brilliant and wonderful in their own right. What I found interesting is Eleanor Roosevelt and Betty Ford were both white women who were better and were greater and became greater than the men that they married, because both of those dudes, even Franklin Delano Roosevelt, mediocre white man in a wheelchair. He was a cripple from polio. Also, Betty Ford, she was a drunk, but she was a happy drunk, but she was still better than Gerald Ford. And don't forget how he came into his role, because I had no idea that Spiro Agnew had to resign because he got caught up in some criminal S. Also, I didn't know that Donald Rumsfeld was anti, I didn't know that Alberta King, Martin Luther King's mama got killed by one of the Black Israelites. I had no idea. Shot dead on behalf of some conspiracy crap. And while the Black Israelites have been on the watch list, domestic terrorist watch list, basically since 74 or even prior, I had no idea. That militant left-wing extremist rhetoric makes you think and makes you think hard. Because if you murder Alberta King, what would be the purpose of that? That makes no sense to me. But also just showing compassion, and Rumsfeld saying don't do it, and all of the shenanigans happening with the Republican Party since Nixon came and before he resigned, it just makes you think. But with that said, I'm glad to have been able to bear witness to another great portrayal by Viola Davis. And that's why I give her and I salute her in this part of Black Excellence. I can't imagine anybody playing that part any better than she did. And I can't wait to see any subsequent episodes because I think they're going to be the bomb. Are we still singing a hand washing song, and why is this one of the number one stream songs on iTunes? The pandemic is not over, and we still got a whole bunch of shenanigans going on. Stay tuned for this next part of the show where I talk about just general COVID shenanigans. And it helps that you can get your bop on, right? Today is starting out as a good day. I am in Tennessee, and it's been a very long time for me to feel like recording. But people are doing the most. It is hard not to comment on and have an opinion on the fallacy of just people in general. And I'm coming up with terms to basically describe who I am and what my stance is. And it's very tiring to me to have to explain why I am an aggressive recluse. I'm not passive aggressive, I'm aggressively passive. I don't mind learning things and forming an opinion of them. I do it, and I've found over the last several years I do it better without a whole bunch of distractions. I used to, in medical school, I despise group learning and having to have study group because I found the extra energy and the extra talking to be very distracting. When I basically could only needed to focus on certain things in order to get a better understanding for myself, I found it very distracting and annoying to have to get everybody on that same page or get everybody take the time to get everybody up to my level when I didn't have to be there. It was such a freaking waste of my time. And now being 50 years old and just cranky, I don't really want to have to keep explaining my stance on things and having to make people, because everybody else is so social, that's just not me. And I don't want to keep having to explain that. I guess it's very disconcerting if you live in a very, a community that your house is just could be a beacon of socialization and relaxation, but it's for my relaxation and for me to chill, and I choose not to really share that with anybody else. And I say all of that to say is because I'm going through a time now, we're still in the midst of a pandemic, and just life in general, I just really would prefer to be left alone, to create, and just to be without any answers, without any justification. I've worked hard enough to get to this point I get to be by myself, and I shouldn't have to explain that to anybody. But I say all of that to begin to say is because there was supposed to be a Congreso Católico Centella, which is a gathering of what seems to be progressive Catholics here in Tennessee, that was absolutely that it was liberal in the fact that the speakers that were supposed to come, I don't think they do not represent the Catholic Church, evidently. Three speakers, Rafael Diaz, Fernando Casanova, and Luis Roman, have hundreds of thousands of followers on social media between YouTube, Facebook, and Telegram. I don't know what Telegram is. I think that's a very conservative right-wing bullshit social media platform. What makes them more controversial is their disparaging remarks against Pope Francis and all the COVID-19 restrictions and coronavirus vaccine. It seems like the Catholic Church ain't down with the shits because they say, we don't want that nonsense here. So basically, they basically said, nah, we don't want these fools, they don't represent us, and they canceled the event. I think that's pretty ballsy in this sea of red, because it seems like more people are willing to accept just wrong. It's not even right wing, it's just wrong information and disinformation. And I think I saw the same thing with a lot of conservative young evangelicals leaving their congregations because of their congregation's overall support for the Trump administration and that nonsense. I find it refreshing that they're willing to take that stance because in these times, because it doesn't really, at least we can say the Catholic Church is trying to do what they can to not have people spread that type of information about coronavirus. They've made that choice, and you're not going to talk crap about the Pope, not especially not this Pope. How you go? And also, the other thing is, how you going to be Latino and talk trash about the first Latino Pope? Who does that? That is some off the wall dumbness right there. And then I look at what is going on. What literally is going on with the controversial Supreme Court, not Supreme Court, but federal court ruling. I wonder, did they announce that? Because that came out, I think it was Tuesday. Florida voids mask mandates for planes. This is what I wanted to look up also, because this is what I didn't understand. We know the numbers, according to Johns Hopkins, that data and the CDC, it says the numbers are going back up. They're not sure of the behavior of the surge, of the behavior of this current I call it Frankenkron variant. But this is a case of a Trump appointed, I think her last name is Mizell, rule that the national mask mandate and other exceeded the authority of U.S. health officials in their response to the coronavirus pandemic. So what you're saying is they couldn't, the actual parts of the government that are really there to protect the public health can't do their job. That's what effectively she's saying. This person failed to justify its decision and did not follow proper rulemaking procedures that left it fatally flawed. Really? Entirely because it would be impossible to end it for the limited group of people who objected in the lawsuit. A limited remedy, but why? You're effectively hand streaming the federal government to protect the public health. This is always some sovereign citizen bullshit. It is effectively subverting or perverting the law for your own benefit. People are not going to do what is right because they're only going to do what is right for them. If they don't care about protecting another person's health, they're not going to do it. So in effect, you got to make them do it. And this is a right along those rules. Vacate the rules, one, because you don't understand the rules or why it needs to be in place. So we got to get rid of it because I don't understand it. So we got to get, and you cause chaos. We got too many. There's a large portion of this population that really needs to be protected from others, protected from this virus, and protected from itself. And the government, I honestly think the only effective means of government is to make the rules that perfect and protects the whole. This is one of the rules. A mask. You mean to tell me because everybody's tired of the mask, which we know protects you from this virus, but because everybody's tired of it, we should get rid of the rule? we should get rid of that rule. That would be the same thing. It is very uncomfortable for me because I have an issue with my left shoulder to wear a seatbelt. But I know if I ever rode my electric car or if I ever rode my truck, it's going to protect me from dying. I'm going to still wear that seatbelt. Same thing with the freaking mask. I don't understand why people have, why it is such, so hard for people to do what is right to protect yourself and to protect others. What is wrong? What is wrong with you? I keep asking myself, what is really wrong with you guys? What is wrong? Just because you don't believe in it, you want to make everybody just as stupid as you are. Just because you want to be mediocre, does that make everybody have to be as mediocre as you are? That's a perversion of individual thinking and also perversion of democracy. Y'all are taking it, y'all are doing the most, and you're doing, and it's just absolutely, completely insane. It is so disappointing that a part of the federal government is hamstringing another part of the federal government what it should absolutely be done. So why do we have a public health? Why do we have the CDC? Why do we have the NIH when they can't do anything? Because you got these judges that have these perverted ideals about rulemaking when it has nothing to do. That is not your job. You can't get rid of this stupid mask. What is it hindering? Is it hindering? Are you profiting? That's what I go back to, dollars and cents. Are these people in a low-key way trying to prolong the pandemic because they want to call and could still use it as a mean to control people for profit? That's the only thing I can absolutely see. This is my cynic conspiracy theory. This is a mean to continue something that is so profitable to a very small group of people, and it's also very attention getting. I can almost guarantee nobody knew who this bitch ass was, Mizell was, until she made this subversive and critical, and it's going to call chaos. Nobody knew who she was. She took this as her shot. And I'm hoping it's going to be career ending. I'm going to absolutely have to look that up. She's appointed. And I wonder what the end of her term is, because this is, the buck stops here. Nobody's going to forget. Like, they tried to bring up this crap with Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson. They're going to bring up this kind of nonsense because this is causes chaos, causes confusion, and it also causes discord in an already polarized society. I don't understand why you could be polarized. What am I going to not do to basically, I'm going to do all I can to protect myself, even though y'all obviously don't want me to be protected and you don't want me to live and to be free. Well, that's fine, because there are alternatives to that. I can have my own life within my own limits as long as I pay my taxes, or I could get the hell out. The cry for being an expatriate in the events of the last few weeks have become louder, especially with me, and wanting to go to a place where I can feel safe, protected, and I can thrive. I can't even imagine continuing to live in a place where I can't, you can't trust the government, and then you got other parts of the government doing the most just for clout and just for attention. And they keep doing these things, and it's just so disheartening when you think about it. And people are leaning into it, and there seems to be no recourse. I can only hope that history, and at least they will do something that really somebody is going to finally end up saying, enough is enough. I can't make this crap up. It's a small world after all.
It's a small world after all. DeSantis and his Republican fools are making it very difficult to be Disney. Woo! So, latest in mediocre white dudes flexing for the cameras. It was announced that Disney, the gayest company on the planet, has riled up stupid, mediocre, racist Ron DeSantis. And as they push to end Disney self-government, what does this mean? They are in, Disney is in a special district for tax purposes. And I knew all of this had to, something to do with money. So they wish to penalize and remove this special tax status for one of the largest businesses in Florida, which is funny. So now, basically, I need to see a meme because basically DeSantis is taking on Mickey Mouse. If you didn't know, Orlando grew up around Walt Disney World. It is the gayest place on earth. And you mean to tell me y'all didn't know that Disney was going to come out against the Don't Say Gay law? That is freaking hysterical to me. And you want everyone to comply. You want big businesses only if they just be quiet and go along with your conservative money-making schemes. So with that said, these mothers are so willing to come up on the wrong side of history that they're willing to go against deep pocket worldwide international Disney just to exert some conservative BS. I think it's going to backfire. I think if they're going to make people comply to their right-wing conservative BS, there's going to be a lot of people just basically saying, screw you, fine. Not only will you not get the taxes that we generate, we could potentially pull out and go somewhere else that they're not this stupid. I mean, there's a Disney World literally all over the world. Why wouldn't they pull up and go to California or somewhere else that will exert and allow them to recognize the rights of the LGBTQ plus community? Why wouldn't you expect them to have a differing opinion and not to get penalized? For all we know, they could pull up and go to Mexico, take the jobs back down there, all the visa status, all the revenues. And if they were to pull up and pull out of Florida, they would basically show the private industry, but basically show DeSantis and his cronies, you could talk that crap if you want to. This is how it's going to be. End it. Fine. Then we're out. I wonder if they actually have the balls to do something like that and just basically say, we're tired. And we tired of getting hit by hurricanes anyways. We tired of the climate deniers. We're tired of y'all being racist and right wing and just downright stupid. And basically saying, Mickey is not going to, even though he wears gloves, he ain't going to get the boxing with this stupid administration. But I'm wondering, do they have the balls or the ears to pull up out of Florida and tell them to kick rocks? It would be very hilariously funny if they did. And I wonder if they're willing to draw the line in the sand and tell this mouth-breathing DeSantis to go screw himself. But that's just me, and that's just me being stank. So this is another shenanigans. And they keep saying it's so irritating that they're allowed and they dominate the news cycle for being so contrary and against the ideas of a free and respectful society.
So that's how we're going to end this episode. And I'm going to end it with a positive word. I used to scoff at people making this statement because maybe because of its simplicity or maybe because it sounded more like an admonishment that I was being everything but kind. But then when I started investigating it for myself, that's when I realized that I was confusing politeness with kindness. Politeness is a fake superficial manner in which there's no required investment, no self-reflection. But being kind is an adjective. It is an action. If you're kind to yourself first, it's like exercise memory. You will continue and be kind to others. Let that sit with you for a while. I'm going to try to be kind to myself. I'll be kind to others. It's very simple, and you got to repeat it. Lean into the spirit of a new year by counting your blessings, giving to others, and spreading happiness. I know I will. And this episode or this podcast is my means to spread joy and happiness and light and enlightenment. There's so much going on with aggression and just meanness. But if I can leave you with one small positive thought, start your day with that, that can change everything for you and just basically change your day. Don't forget to check out Dale's Angels, Inc. for the notes on this podcast, as well as other works by CQM in that are and other contributors that are in work or in being edited right now. Also, check out my Instagram feed, 10Fro is Reading. You can check me out on Facebook, 10Fro is Reading Book Club, as well as my YouTube channel, 10Fro is Reading and Eating. And what I'm just chatting and streaming at TV Food Wine Girl on Twitter. Navigate to Writer's Block Coffee or shipabagofdicks.com. Use my promo code 10Fro Coffee or 10Fro Got Jokes, respectively, to get a percentage off of your order. Don't forget to drop me a line at 10FroWasReading@gmail.com. All non-trolling messages may be actually read online, and you can do the same if you are in Podbean or Anchor or wherever you listen to the podcast. And again, shedding light and positivity. And I hope you guys enjoyed this episode as much as I've enjoyed creating it. Until next time, bye.